Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is episode 65 of your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I'm your host, Zoinks, joined by the ever-wonderful Doobsnax and Lazadin, as always. But we have a special guest joining the show as well. Incredible UCS caster holding it down for everyone in OCE. We have Kellosaurus joining the show. Thank you so much for joining the show today, Kello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, honestly, it's been a long time coming. We've had you on this show for a while. And I mean, time zones being a little bit of a blessing for us in disguise. If you're on the opposite side of the world, it actually makes it not too bad. I always feel like it's a struggle to get European people on this show, or basically it involves me waking up at 6 a.m. to do a podcast, but luckily, Australia, we're making it look all right. But of course, we have Doobsnax and Lazadin, as always. I did call them wonderful, and I did mean that. So, Doobsnax, you're currently doing this episode from a dungeon, so how's your week been?
Busy. Moved into a new house. Literally the day I got back from EUIC, had to go close on the house, start moving stuff. Day 3 in the new house, I was drilling holes in my kitchen ceiling because there was a leak just pouring into my kitchen. Zoinks has seen the video. Two rooms have been set up. Everything else is a box holding space, and I'm casting from a dungeon. So, yeah, it's a whirlwind, my bud. Whirlwind out here.
More space to fit the green screen for the weekend. I think I think it'll be good. Silver linings. And of course, Lazadin also on the show as always. Lazadin, how's your last week been?
Oh, it's been pretty good. You know, very productive scrim week. Had a great, been enjoying certain gacha games that were mentioned before the show. That we will not mention the name of because we do not.
Yeah, no free shout outs. And when the check clears, we'll mention the game. I promise. And
we need that check to clear.
Yes, no free shout outs to the game that everybody on Earth is playing right now and they are enamored with it. But good. I'm glad you have had fun from multiple sources, Unite being one of them. Cool. Sure. On today's show, we are going to be talking about a lot of interesting stuff. There's a lot going on in the competitive Unite world, which is very cool. We're going to be discussing the game a little bit at the top of the show, but as we move on, we're going to be learning about a lot of different regions within the Unite Championship Series. Of course, we have OCE local expert Kello on the show. We're going to dive a bit into the OCE region. We're going to talk a little bit about the TPC run regions, so APAC, Japan, Korea, and their unique qualifying structure for the World Championships. And then, of course, we're going to take a look ahead at the top 8 for both EU and NA as we try to dive into all the fun predictions and storylines we like to break down with these teams. So a lot to talk about on the show. So without further ado, let's get into our first topic, which of course is the game of Pokemon Unite. It has been many moons since the game of Pokemon Unite has changed in terms of numbers. We have been sitting on this patch for quite some time, which has, of course, made the Twitterverse and the online world quite upset about it. However, we have had a couple of new additions to the game of Unite, namely Chandelure, who I've actually been having a lot of fun with. I think this Pokemon's a really good time. But I just want to poll the group right now. How are we feeling about the newest introduction to Pokemon Unite in Chandelure? And yes, it's loud, blah, blah, blah. Let's move off that topic and jump into the next one. How do we feel about Chandelure in the game? Doobsnax, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I think it's a great add. I think it's a lot of fun. It reminds me a lot of Dodrio, not in what it does, but its impact, meaning that it doesn't seem incredibly overpowered. I think somebody skilled with it can really make a difference in a game. Cool. And, I hope I don't eat my words here, but it looks like a release that's going to be able to be impactful and used in its first tournament appearance here at the May Cup. So No unnecessary delay or anything like that. So I'm a big fan of it. It's looked really cool. I think it has a lot of interesting stuff. It can add furniture to the house if you're the Zephyr construction crew. Kello, I saw you doing that as well. You guys were the first ones to start adding furniture to the Homorama there. So I thought that was great. All in all, I think it's a great add. I'm a big fan.
Interior design being in it. That's great. I completely agree with your points there, Doobsnax.
Hello, the interior designer of the Pokemon Unite scene when it comes to Thea Sky Ruins.
The herald of OCE and interior designer. What can't she do? Kello, talk to me about Chandelure. How are you feeling about this newest edition?
I agree with Dube Snacks 100%. I think it's a lot of fun. And in terms of being balanced, I think all four movesets are actually really good. Wow. I've mixed and matched like all of them, and I think they all complement each other very well. So lots and lots of fun, despite, you know, Animal Crossing meets Pokemon Unite there, the crossover. Yes.
I've wanted it for a long time, so I'm happy we have it. Lazarin, how about you? Chandelure, what are your thoughts on this Pokemon?
I think it's exceptionally strong. It's the release we've had. I don't even remember where that train of thought was going. Yeah, I think it's exceptionally strong. It's a very, very good attacker. It's nice to finally not get a giant unkillable meatball for a release. I never thought I'd say that after the string of attackers last year.
No, I'm with you. It's nice.
So I'll be very interested to see how it impacts tournament metas. Hopefully it'll be legal in May. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't.
Right. I'm knocking on wood for non-video listeners, but audio listeners, I'm sparing you the sound. But I do think that it'd be a really fun addition. I think this Pokemon would be cool in drafts. I mean, we've talked about how it's a really strong attacker. It's kind of one of the mage Pokemon that we have in Unite with a triple evolution. It needs its five. It needs its five pretty bad to be relevant. So I don't see this thing ever contesting anything in lane. I'm imagining we're going to see this attacker central full time. But its level five is kind of insane. Like one of the strongest ganks we've seen in a while. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like Guardi Psyshock level five. Like it is extremely potent. But yeah, Lazarin, you're the analyst for Luminosity. I mean, is this something that'll be given draft priority, or is this something that you would always slot in last pick? I mean, how much priority do you give to Chandelure?
I mean, I can't say too much about Chandelure specifically because obviously I have not like tried to sit down and like try to like plot out what that's useful for because I've got a final this weekend.
Sure.
But generally speaking, that sort of mage doesn't become like first pick prio unless it's like beyond disgustingly broken, like Espeon or Mew.
Yes.
Of
the community, Espeon and Mew.
I don't foresee it being like a super early draft because it still has all the standard weaknesses of a mage, and there are a lot of very, very lovely Pokemon that will just eat it for breakfast right now.
Sure.
Obviously, like, hopefully before May comes, we get a balanced patch, Copium. But like that will maybe adjust that. But for now, I don't. Yeah, like obviously, like take this all with a grain of salt. Very little thought put into it, but I would imagine it being fourth, fifth pick at earliest.
Sure. Okay, yeah, I mean, I could slot it in there. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on Chandelure remain the same, though. I think you could throw this into central area. They could contest with a lot of the good central picks right now. And of course the burst damage that can provide is pretty solid. Unite move is fun. I don't know how good of a Unite move is. We need a Unite move to your list at some point. I don't know where I would exactly slot it. And yes, it is loud. But
Unite move needs to not hide Rayquaza. Please stop this. Do not let people flip.
Kind of fun, though. I'm not going to lie. It's a little fun. Well, that's not the only thing that has been going on in the game of Unite, obviously. Like I mentioned at the start of this topic, it has been quite some time since we've seen any relevant balance change. And also because of that, the list of blanket bans in the Unite Championship Series has gotten more lengthy than it ever has before. Of course, Zacian staying there, but Cramorant, Lapras, Clefable, Glaceon movesets. There's been a lot of Pokemon catching bans, and at this point, we need a balance patch for a lot of different reasons. But Kello, if you were putting together a balance patch to throw towards Unite right now, what are you looking at to try to change? Are you trying to buff up some of the lower non-used Pokemon that aren't exactly meta? Are you trying to tear down some of the towering giants at the top of the metagame and make them a bit more even-keeled? Or are you just trying to get these bug fixed finally, please? Where are you at? Like, what would be your priority if you were trying to develop this game?
I think, yeah, definitely fixing the bugs would be a priority. Mm-hmm. Just to have the full roster there would be amazing, really. Right. But I think, obviously, there are little tweaks and whatnot that do need to be done. I know Espeon has been up there in terms of one of the top choices right now, not only being really strong, but also a good secure. So possibly, you know, increasing the cooldown quite, you know, just a little bit, not too much. That way it is still viable. I know obviously Trevenant ended up getting patched last time and increased the cooldowns there with the wood hammer. So I think, you know, even then with that, it's still such a strong Pokemon. I don't think that needs any touching up, but I don't know. It's really hard. There's such a vast roster right now. You can really see, I guess, who's really fallen to the bottom of the barrel. I know, like, in terms of all-rounders as well, Urshifu's up there. Still a really strong character, but then it just means, you know, we're not getting any much love for Serena these days. Like, I want to see more Serena.
It's been a minute since we've seen that Pokemon be relevant. I know there's some holdouts in EU that really like to force that Pokemon, but I don't know. It just not seeing the success that that Pokemon once did. That is very true. Same question to you, Dupesnax. Where are you directing your priorities when it comes to balancing the game right now?
Yeah, sure. I'm hoping at least everybody says fix the bugs. So we're going to put that to the side. And you know how I feel about this, Soinks, because we talked about it a little bit when we were in California. I want to see Sashin nerfed to the point of in-playability and then scaled up slowly but surely until it actually hits a point that makes sense. Because working backwards is going to make it a character that's never available to play. It just doesn't feel good on any axis. When I say that, I mean in competitive structured play. I actually don't care about it as much in solo play anymore. I play Slowbro every game, so I just slow beam it down. So I don't really care. But just like in a competitive setting, it's absolutely cartoonishly stupid. So that would be priority number one. It nerf it into the ground again to the point of in-playability, and then start adding to it to try and bring it back to life. Because I think working in the opposite direction is going to take too long, and we're never, ever, ever going to see it actually be able to be played because it'll be too strong. I'm with Kello. I'd like to see some of these lower-picked Pokemon kind of get gassed up a little bit and bring some parity just so it shifts up the meta a little bit just by proxy. So, you know, whether it's increasing the cooldown to Psyshock or changing its damage output or, you know, altering how, Wicked Blow works. Things like that, just to see some shifts a little bit. I'd kind of like to see Wigglytuff get gassed up a little bit, because I think it's on the outside looking in, which is a shame, because it's like the only supporter that can't really be played right now, because everything else is just so good. But I feel like it could slot into like that pseudo supporter tank role really well. It's a Pokemon I really enjoy, and it unlocks a lot of cool things with Sing and that special defense withering reduction. So those are just kind of a couple quick hit items for myself.
I'm right there with you on Wigglytuff. I really do think Wigglytuff is, yes, it could use some number tweaks. I do think it's just waiting on a meta shift. Like, I think if we hit, like, kind of a death ball situation, like, all the crowd control in the world, Starlit Recital just becomes one of the best Unite moves in the game. I think it could see a big swing, but, yeah, right now it could definitely use some work. Lazanin, how about you? Do you have a specific Pokemon that you're like, this one I would absolutely love to see become relevant that's kind of sitting on the outside right now? Via patch or something like that.
I would really like to see some Dragapult. I think that Pokemon is very fun and never got its chance to shine. You know, got like some great picks. Like Mamoswine's never truly had a competitive meta. Like even in the metas it did get picked, it was kind of worse than other options a lot of the time. And you were just kind of like, well, I guess I got Mamoswine.
Yeah, it felt like the second draft pick for sure when it was really, I think like off season, right? Like kind of before February was when Mamoswine was kind of relevant.
And that's and like then a fell off, but decently high skill tank too.
That is true.
And obviously like nerf every, like half of the roster is, or when I say half of the roster, I mean like there's probably like seven Pokemon I would describe as disgustingly broken. Like, and all of them need gutted, not just Zacian. Like, Comfy needs gutted, Zoroark needs gutted, Dodrio needs gutted, Mew, Espeon. Or Mew to a lesser extent, but definitely still. Like, there's so many Pokemon that are just, like, so far beyond reasonable that it is really weird.
Yeah, we're in a weird space in the game of Unite for sure. And it's prompted a lot of conversations. I mean, online, like I was a part of a few different Twitter conversations that were going on this week talking about patch schedules and some debates on how the patches are organized. Truth is, we have no idea how these patches are timed or when they're approved or what it is. But a lot of people saying that they're obviously holding off because of the Unite Championship Series. And well, that doesn't always line up. It's multiple regions, different tournaments, different times. I mean, there's a lot to work around. I've seen a lot of people requesting similar things to other games like League of Legends, where you would have like a tournament patch that the games would be played on, where the live game is played on a different patch. I mean, I don't think that's ever going to exist. However, it kind of exists with our giant exhaustive ban list because of bugs already. We're almost playing on a different client than live at this point. So I don't know. There's a lot that needs to be cleaned up. We're about halfway through this season right now. It's getting a little ridiculous. I hope there's a patch after this tournament, because if there's a good one that fixes a lot of bugs, I think it'll bring a lot more excitement to the competitive scene. But I think short of that, it's going to be rough sledding until we hit regionals. But that's my personal thought of it, but yeah.
I just want to ask really quick, and maybe it's just like a yes, no, quick answer. But is there a world where if there isn't a patch to fix some of these bugs, for example, like Follow Me Clefable or the Rapid Spin Water Spout right out of home base stuff, where you just, since those are so rare or also such niche cases, that you just take them off the ban list and everybody gets the opportunity to just...
I think for finals, you can probably allow Blastoise. That would be a reasonable thing to do. The Clef bug, I do not understand why people say it is either rare or low impact. Those things are both false, and tell me you don't know enough about the bug.
It happens. It happens every single time you use the move, right? Like it's a little whack.
Like people often like use the other esport comparison, and it's like, well, other esports don't leave their bugs in the game for 5 months at a time with no communication, and then also like basically explicitly admit their bugs, right? Like it's so weird. If a bug existed on the caliber of half the ones that we have in League, they would just be patched out almost instantly. It's just, I don't know, it's so bizarre. I think that the Cram bug could very reasonably be played with. Blastoise bug, probably. But like most of the bugs in this list, no way.
Yeah, it would have to be a case-by-case basis, right? And that is true.
Well, I think any way we can shrink the list makes sense to me. That's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Mm-hmm.
We shrink the list by patching the game.
Sure, that's dude. Like, you, come on. You know what I'm getting at here. Yeah, if it hasn't happened in 5 months, what things can we, what tentative, like, what concrete actions can we take to shrink that list? And even if it's just Blastoise coming off or whatever, like, yeah, that changes things. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be, because, I mean, that sets precedence, right? Like, as soon as you do that, and then it's a tough thing to follow through after. I don't know. I'm usually on the side of competitive integrity. I like the ban staying the same, even if it is hurting the impact. But to answer one of those points, too, I mean, people are talking about, like, they're admitting to bugs. Well, I mean, there's a development team, and then there's another organization that's running competitively. They're not the same organization doing both things, so
I think that has
been pretty clear as well. But
I understand that too, like, don't get me wrong, but like, it's also at some point, like, everybody knows it's bugged. Why is it not fixed?
I don't know. I got no answers, and that's what we need done. We need it done, and it's not, which is a huge bummer. But we've talked about bugs for like the last 4 weeks, so let's jump on past those, and let's pivot a little bit into the competitive scene as a whole. Now, I wanted to talk about the championship series globally, because obviously it's happening. And Kilo, we got you on here, and obviously your backyard is the OCE region. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about OCE right now in the United Championship Series? What's going on? Is the meta different and exciting? Who are the exciting teams to watch? Give us the elevator pitch for OCE.
I think in terms of the meta, it is very similar to a lot of the regions out there. I feel like we, you know, obviously pick and choose here and there from a lot of the regions. And I guess being a smaller region, smaller player base, a lot of us end up, I guess, playing overseas, in overseas ranked games, and then pick up things from there and kind of mesh it into our own, in a sense. But it is, to be honest, it is very, very, very similar. In terms of teams to watch out for, there are obviously at the current leaderboard, you have EXO there at the top, iClan in second, and Team Gap in third currently. So they would be the three, you know, being the top three to watch out for. But also, I think LDR is kind of that underdog. They are currently in fourth, but I think they've actually shown a very strong presence the past couple of months. They have had some switch ups here and there, I know, over the past couple of months and everything like that. Gotcha. But
no region is immune to roster changes, it seems. all falling prey to it at some point. Okay. Well, cool. I mean, those are some really solid rosters. Obviously, some well-known ones from Worlds last year and being iClan. EXO, are they kind of like a brand new squad? Or are there a lot of players that were playing last year too?
So a lot of them were playing last year. So I know Challenged, who was part of Ground Zero, they've kind of made their own. In terms of the roster, I have the names here. Buster, I'm trying to think. That name is familiar. I'm trying to think which teams. In terms of my background knowledge.
It's totally good. I didn't know if they applied to a history list. But
No. That's okay. They've kind of like again. Yeah, I think, you know, they're a group of friends that have played a lot together and share that history. And then I guess decided to develop a team. In terms of iClan, it's pretty much exactly the same lineup, except they have picked up Joe. So if you're familiar with Joe Mega LOL, they were part of Ground Zero as well. They were one of the top teams last year. And so he's actually replaced Pengu. Not much change in that regard with them, but I don't know. EXO and iClan, like,
yeah, they're good squads.
I love watching them. Yeah.
I mean,
they've had a pretty clean run so far.
You'd be hard pressed to find a bigger fan of iClan than Dupesnax, who is on the podcast, obviously. Dupesnax adores that squad, but they got some tough competition in EXO. Have you been able to catch any OCE this on Kello streams or anything like that, Dupesnax, or have been all focused on the EU and NA recently?
I mean, obviously, my main focus is NA and EU, but I do get in the mix and I watch the rebroadcasts here. I watch the VODs, just because I do think the iClan story is great, but I also like to see them be challenged a little bit, because that's kind of part of their story that makes them neat. So if all of a sudden they become this world dominator type, or region dominator, I mean to say, I think they actually lose a lot of their personality, which is interesting to say. But like last year, the only event they won was the regional finals, right, to qualify, which is hilarious. And then this one, they're kind of like, what happened to iClan? Did they fall off? And then they just like spiked the AOS Cup kind of out of nowhere, right? And they found their footing again. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see them fall off in the next 2 months and then have a big showing at regional finals. But of course, selfishly.
Curse them. Oh, no.
but of course, you know, yeah, caster's curse, whatever. I'd love to see them go to Worlds. I think there are just great representatives for the region. But of course, I like this EXO that kind of is the amalgamation of a bunch of other teams that have kind of fallen apart and come together, who saw some early success and seem to be poised to continue that. So I'm a big fan of the region. You know I am. So I'm keeping an eye on it, keeping my finger on the pulse.
Sweet. Okay.
Interesting thing, might I add, is each month so far we've had a different team win.
There hasn't been a
team that's actually won twice. I mean, obviously we've only, you know, had the three so far going into the fourth, so whether it ends up being one of these teams or whether it does see a brand new team take the lead this time round as well.
There you go. I mean, okay, I know NA can boast the same, right? NA hasn't had a repeat winner, but obviously EU is kind of got that one locked up for the last little while. But that is really cool. Some spicy results for both OCE. Okay, well, unfortunately, I don't have the qualifiers right in front of me. But if you had to pick a winner for this upcoming month, Kellogg, who do you think is going to take home the April finals for OCE?
Oh, do I have to say it? No bias.
You don't have to, but certainly. Wow. I think EXO's going for the repeat win from what I've seen. I think that team looks really, really strong. That is who I'm personally vouching for, not just to go against Deuce Next prediction of iClan, but I am choosing EXO. Deuce Next, are you vouching for iClan here?
Come on, you know I am.
Okay,
you know.
Great.
They gave me a jersey. I can't not.
You went so easy to get Deuce Next on your side. It's so easy. But hey, it works. Lasna, do you have a horse in the OCE race? Any team that you think is going to take home the April Cup?
I don't pay just much attention EXO. To OCE.
Just say EXO?
Okay. Hold on. I'll go with flip a coin. I flipped a coin and said I climb. Okay.
Yeah! Okay. The legend snack side. All right, Lazarin. Fair enough. Okay. Well, Kella, we've made our peace with our picks. Have you come to a decision that you're willing to say in front of podcast listeners and chat?
No, because I'm going to get eaten alive from whoever I pick.
Oh, man.
I can't have favorites. I'm going to stay neutral. Oh. I'm going to stay neutral. I don't know how you guys do it.
Zoinks loves throwing region predictions into the face of the regions he's directly a part of just to catch the smoke. And he loves that.
It is a path I have chosen that has made mortal enemies. And when I say enemies, I mean enemy. And it's just Blaine from EU.
Yeah, it's literally just
that guy hates me. But I apparently hate Nance. Allegedly. So that is a tough spot. All right, fine. Kella, we haven't forced you into a decision, but I'll make you make some for EU and NA. Which is what we are going to be talking about very shortly. I almost forgot. I wanted to discuss this a little bit. So, the TPC run regions are, like I was talking about, the APAC regions, Japan, Korea, not APAC, so it's SEA East and West, I think. Or is it APAC East and West? I forget what they've named them this time. And then, of course, Japan, Korea, and is there any other regions in that I'm forgetting? I don't think so. Is it just the four? No, India as well. So India, five.
Yeah.
So five. Are having a really unique qualification process. Which instead of a championship point system, their season's a lot shorter. It starts in April, and they have an April tournament, a May tournament, and then a LCQ in June that all funnels into a regional playoff. Each of the regions has this format. So April tournament, the top three teams get qualified for the regionals. And then in May tournament, the top three teams get qualified. And then in the LCQ, the top two teams get qualified for the regional finals, which then, of course, creates a top eight bracket for their region, which then allows three of those teams to be qualified for the World Championship Series. This graphic I'm looking at specifically is from one of the SEA regions who get three qualification spots apiece. I'm sure this format, you know, changes slightly for both. I believe both Korea and Japan get four slots, if I remember correctly. So those are going to change slightly. But anyway, it's an all performance and all placement based system, which means you have to top a tournament if you're going to get invited to the tournament. And then, of course, you need to win that tournament to qualify for the World Championship Series. No championship points being involved in this qualification process. Thoughts, just surface level, on the format that we're taking a look at. Similar to last year, but basically no seeding, because if you qualified in June, or if you qualify in April, there's no reason to play in May. So a little bit different in that situation, but just early thoughts on it. Deuce Next, any thoughts on that format?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun way to keep teams invested that may have a poor performance in 1 month to the next. What we're seeing now in NA and EU is volume of teams signing up to compete falling off because it's really tough. Like, now the only real way to qualify if you're a team that hasn't gotten a championship point is to spike the regional finals. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly not impossible and would be a crazy story that I would love to tell. But that is tough to justify grinding getting your team up to snuff to try and make that run happen. And it's just not necessarily feasible. So their system seems a little bit more leaned into, hey, it's shorter, but once you make it in April, like you said, team, there's still a bunch of teams that can try and have at it in May. They're not like down and out all of a sudden. So I like it in that vein.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, I think NA has a little bit of a silver lining that we have the carrot of you get to go and play in an in-person event in the top eight, like invitational. Like, so NA has a little bit more incentive. Like, well, if you get top eight, you get to go to this cool thing. So hopefully that is enough of an incentive to kind of keep numbers, but you're right.
And you can kind of see that in the like signups, you know? Like NA and EU have pretty similar signups for the first 3 months of the year, and then it's what, 89-54?
Yeah, like... EU got hit really hard. They like both numbers dropped in both NA and EU, which again, expected. This happens in Unite historically, but also in like literally every other esport. Like MSI, big deal, lots of attention, and then things slow down, right? Like after and until the next big tournament. But yes, you are right. NA got hit a little less hard, still drop offs, but a little bit less. But Lazen, I want to hear your thoughts on the Eastern Regions. Eastern Regions qualification process.
The qualification process. I was gonna say, as we talked about before the show, I'm trying to find their VODs. Please, someone send them to me.
I actually should have. I'll find them. I'll find them for you. I'll send them over. I know it promised. I will.
I got you.
Thank you. But as for the qualification process, it's definitely really interesting. I do like that sort of process more. I was one of the people that didn't actually mind the point system last year. I thought it was fine, and I've been critical of our point system this year, due to the exact problems that were mentioned. So like, I think that having most of the qualification come from those last couple of months and like your performance in a few specific events being overall a really good thing. I don't know what the exact shape of those is. I don't know exactly how like betas are going to shape out and everything. So like, maybe it'll end up being bad, but like, I think on average, it'll be an overall positive for the regions for sure.
Okay. Yeah. My thoughts on this before we get Kalo's points in here. I really do feel like the only way this works is because they have such a sprint of a system, because they aren't playing out an entire season length like NA and EU are. Like, we have like two additional tournaments with more months, like more tournaments or events. Like, I don't think this system would work to carry an entire season. It only works because they also had ACL, which weren't open tournaments for a lot of regions. So like, Japan is like a really, really small competitive season. However, of course, they have other tournaments to kind of supplement that aren't a part of the championship series. So I don't know, their tournament series is much more, I guess, diverse, for lack of a better word, in terms of competition. You have a lot of different things to play for that aren't all focused on the Unite Championship Series. Of course, UCS and every other Western region, that's the one thing. That's everything that everybody is playing for is for the World Championships. And that's how it's worked in Pokemon competitions forever. That's always what they're all pointed towards, which I don't think is a bad thing. I am like still pretty positive on the system that we have this year. I personally really like it. I do see the negatives of teams kind of looking at Worlds as this a too much of a lofty goal and kind of moving away from it. I think there's smaller fixes we could do than just a giant overhaul of the system. We could spread out cash to all of the tournaments and not have such a big peak in AOS and in regionals. I don't love that, but it is an option where it would make more of an incentive for teams to keep playing. But anyway, that's just those are my initial thoughts. But Kello, thoughts on the qualification system that I just mentioned?
No, I completely agree with what's already been said. In terms of, I guess that's the thing, if you think about how long the Unite Championship Series is for the other regions, it's kind of like that training. You know, you're training for Worlds. It's that opportunity to go up against each other. I guess only having the April and the May tournament, there isn't that much training. But as you mentioned, they do have the other tournaments to supplement that. And they do have that incentive of the prize pool. I feel like it happened last year after AOS EOS, it really drops down in terms of registration numbers across all regions. I guess for the April and the main cups, because I feel like up at that point, obviously EOS is such a hefty chunk of championship points, right? It's it's like if you start, if you're a team that ends up starting brand new fresh in April, are you going to be able to catch up in championship points from there? Or, you know, is the only chance that you're really going to have is going to be that regional championship to try and make a comeback? So I feel like a lot of teams, I don't know whether, you know, this is synonymous across regions, but a lot of the teams in the OCE region just registered into the April Cup for fun.
Right.
Just for the experience more than actually the competitive thing, because there is already, you know, those top teams that have already established themselves in terms of championship points. So is there really much to fight for there is the question. Yeah.
And to be fair, like every esport that has an open series, like a lot of the ecosystem is the people that just sign up for fun because they want a different experience than just playing the game in ranked or something, and they want to try out a tournament experience. Smash Brothers is the easiest example to point out. I mean, Smash Brothers ecosystem is built on people that go and pay for tournament events and go 0-2. Like, if those people don't sign up and go to these events and just, who aren't very good, but just go because it's a fun experience, they get to be a part of a giant open series, you might be paired against a pro player in pools, it happens, because that's how seeding works. Like, you still go to these competitions, but it's like, otherwise, the prize pool for the top players wouldn't exist, the giant events wouldn't exist, and open series are built on just having a lot of different kinds of people looking for competition. Perfect World, we have tons and tons of players who are grinding the game, trying to become pros and the top teams. It's not super realistic. I think there's a happy medium somewhere that we're not quite at yet. But yeah, it's an interesting spot. But Dubsnax, did you have another thing you would wanted to say on this one?
No, I think all the points have been hit. Yeah, cool. So far. Cool. For sure.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, I think it's a good discussion. I said this a few weeks ago. I really want to wait till after regionals before we really either tear apart or cheer on this system that we've had for year two. I think regionals is the ultimate test. Is that carrot of a big prize pool for every single region at regionals enough to really boost sign-up numbers? Because even if you just make top eight, you're in the money. So it's not like you're just playing for world championships. Obviously, that's what everyone truly wants. And spiking a tournament may seem like an impossible task, but maybe making it to top eight isn't for some teams who are kind of on that bubble. And I mean, in EOS, you make top eight, you get $750 already for just getting into eighth place. It gets bigger for regionals. So maybe that's enough of a carrot. Not too sure yet. I'm just being a little too optimistic, but we'll have to look at it again when we head into that qualification.
I definitely think the very interesting thing there will be to see specifically the European sign-up number.
That is, I think you're right. I think that's like kind of a make or break. I mean, they're the ones that are hurting the most. Well, they're like the biggest like splash of cold water from tons of teams to not as many, right? But
yeah. But meanwhile, you know, you have poor Kilo in the corner there, not even getting a broadcast anymore. So F.
She's doing it though. Kilo's doing it herself. It's all right. And I don't think we've even mentioned it on the show yet, but the announcement did go live. So congratulations to Kilo for getting on the broadcast again for April Finals. I literally am so excited to watch you all go to work on this upcoming broadcast. It's going to be a ton of fun, which is what we're going to actually talk about right now, the April Finals. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the EU and NA regions. We talked about OCE already. We talked about a lot of regions tonight, but we're going to focus in on EU and NA right now. Let's start with EU, shall we? I'll read off the qualified teams. Everyone's favorite, the Tallyboba Believers, to no surprise, qualified through winner's bracket yet again. Crash Core, the 28th seed, actually qualifying through winners as well, knocking down Time to Shine, into the loser's bracket to qualify, which is pretty cool. Nouns Esports and Woof Woof also securing their spots. Team Flight securing their spot. That is Nazu, Enhyat, a few, like, Austrian, German kind of squad. Random Fives qualifying as well. Tilted Deviant qualifying. So Zephyr out, Tilted in, a different French squad steps up to the plate. I love to see it. And of course, Time to Shine qualifying through losers this time, having to take down GigaChad Gaming. I think I mentioned it earlier, but not Dodo on the Time to Shine squad now, knocking out their old team in the winning in for three losers bracket, which I thought was pretty wild. I thought EU open bracket kind of delivered in terms of storylines, which was a
there's exciting. A lot of really interesting storylines from, because there was like, we have, I mean, like even like going into finals, right? Because we have like the few major roster ships being like the Zante to Time to Shine, and Lunderer to Woof Woof,
right?
As well as Seiryu seemingly vanishing and not Dodo filling in for Time to Shine.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's a permanent top laner now. That's what I understand.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far, well, so like, at least for this month. I mean, it's...
You never know with Time to Shine.
I called them Time to Sub, and I meant it. I think we will see.
Deck and four mystery boxes.
Well, and Shelvin, come on. Shelvin,
come on.
Give him the duo. But yes,
he's a mystery box. Have you seen his champion pool?
That is true. It is, it's wacky and wild, but hey, they get results. It's been fun to watch. But yeah, some interesting squads to make it through. Also, I mentioned that Tilted is the new French team, and they actually beat Zephyr to make it as well, which is kind of crazy. Zephyr going out extremely early in this tournament. They went down to losers round one. So they lost their first round match, went down to losers, went on a bit of a run, but then I think they got to like losers round four. Yeah, losers round four, and they got knocked out by Tilted. So I don't know, a bit of an underperformance from them. It's tough to see from Zephyr. And they're one of those teams that was kind of within striking distance of that top three championship points. And getting out in this month really makes it tough for them. So like May is a must perform month for Zephyr if they want to get back into a position where they could, you know, qualify within that top three championship points side. So yeah, I don't know. Interesting points across the board. Lesson, you mentioned some interesting stuff. But out of all those names, Kello, is there a specific EU team that you're like kind of excited to see go to work?
Oh. I mean, in the end, obviously, I know Tally Believers is up there, you know, being the champions. So I suppose, as you mentioned, Time to Shine having not Dodo on there now. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, I guess with Tilted Deviant, they're the ones, did you say, that defeated Zephyr. I know, I really enjoyed watching Zephyr last month and their team comp. So I guess interested to see what they have to bring to the table this time around, because this will be their first time that they'll be able to be showcased. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise,
don't know Tilted. By the way, Tilted is a team that has performed extremely well in grassroots tournaments for quite some time, but when it comes to the United Championship Series, has kind of struggled a little bit. So, on that roster is Karake, Yaipa, Traffy is on the squad, Donna and Sazuro. So a couple of names that a lot of people might be familiar with. Karake and Traffy, I think, are the two specific EU players that come to mind. They've had a lot of success in the past, but. Tilted just kind of being one of those bubble teams. So I'm really glad you called them out, Kello. I think they'll be a fun team to watch. They could definitely go far in this tournament given the right spot. I think the Crash Corp team is like brand new to me from the far as I know. Lum, Nerzo, Nick, Fuhr, and Ryan. I don't know this squad. I'm excited they made it through winners, though. They're going to go into the pretty good seed. That's going to be a fun team to watch. But let's get down to some predictions. Let's pick your tournament winner, everybody. Is this just going to be a round of tally-popos from everybody? Or are we going to see a bit of a changeup? I'm not sure. Latin, let's start with you. Who do you think is going to be taking home the April finals for EU?
So... here's the thing. We saw a full power new nouns, I would say, on day two of Aeos Cup. And while they were close and arguably, like, probably should have won that last game against Tallybobo in their last series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple mistakes went the other way, and yeah.
I still think that with Tallybobo back with their full roster, they should be definitely favored.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another storyline. Yeah, Utau. you tow off the bench. No need for a passport. We're playing online. It's going to come and swing it. That's going to be fun. That's going to be really fun. Deuce, how about you? Who are you vouching for the win in April?
Yeah, I'm with Lazidin here. The best opportunity that Nouns had as one of the only squads at EUIC that was fully rostered up with the players they play with day in and day out, not being able to take care of Tally Bobo is rough. And of course, their day one looked miserable. They looked terrible. They really did. I mean, for the nouns that we're used to seeing, that was not the nouns that we're used to seeing at all in day one. I mean, it was a tragedy. So yeah, it's really hard to bet against Tally Bobo. Of course, Utah is back. I just want to throw a huge shout to Lundaroo. I think they were on one as well this weekend. That weekend, they completely stepped up. The fact that they immediately got picked up by a team that's in contention is huge and very well deserved. So tip of the cap to them. But come on, Tally Bobo believers with their full squad ready to go. I mean, they look pretty untouchable.
Yeah, they look unreal. Kello.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. It's hard as much as, you know, we'd love to see another team come and rise to the top. It's going to be, you know, I think tough to beat Tally believers, but, you know, it would be amazing and quite the upset if Nouns did end up taking the title, right?
It's crazy that we're talking about that as an upset, right? It is crazy.
Well, it is, you know.
This is the part where Zoinks tries to fix his Blaine beef.
Okay, so Nouns Esports in a world.
World.
That bridge has been so burned a long time ago. Okay, yeah, no, I mean, of course, Enhyot shows up in chat right when we start talking about showing us to talk about a team. I think Flight's got an outside chance to make top four. I think that's gonna be fun to watch. No, when it comes down to it, I really do think this is gonna be Tally Bobo Believers tournament to win, or potentially, I would say my dark horse of this one is going to be Woof. I think Woof has got the caliber to do it. I think they got outdrafted pretty hard in April, or in AOS. But if they can fix that for April, I think the skill dips that some of those players can provide is good enough. I think Woof's crazy. They get like props from international teams when it comes to scrims. Like, they get so many vouches. I got to cash in on the scrim bucks at some time. Like, at some point, that's gotta actually happen live in tournament. And Wolfwolves comes close before. They've hit second place tournament. It finishes. They're who I think has dethroned potential. But yeah. That's pretty much my only spot. Nouns versus Woodwolf would have got smashed. Yeah, potentially. Okay, well, maybe one day this region will be able to talk about a different top team. But until that point happens, let's jump over to North America. So,
EU at EUIC, the top eight, every team balled out given the circumstances that they were under. Yes. And it was so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. So much fun to watch. So, huge shout out to all eight teams, because all of them were, when they're on stage, they were hamming it up and also like transcending levels of play that we haven't seen them hit, mm-hmm. which was even more sick.
Oh,
which
yeah, made awesome.
For some really special moments. So, I just want to shout out all that whole event. It was nasty. It was so much fun to watch.
I forgot we didn't get to get your thoughts on it because you weren't on our EU AOS Cup breakdown episode. That's right. Okay, cool. So Deucenext, obviously you enjoyed yourself. It was an amazing tournament.
It was so fun.
Pump was playing on stage. I mean, we couldn't have scripted a better tournament. I mean,
that homie shows up and man, does he catch the breaks. That dude is a legend.
Pump, I've said it before, I'll say it again, is the master of right place, right time. I have never seen a human better at that skill than Pump is. He was playing on the top eight main stage. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Bluebell was sick too. Shout out to Naya.
That was a great tournament. Potentially best tournament of all time. I really do want to do that tier list at some point. I want to do best Unite tournament that we have ever had. And I think EUAS Cup, definitely a contender. Grand Final specifically was crazy. But all right, let's pivot to North America. So the top eight teams we have through Winterside, first four, Amaterasu, Rogue, TTV, and Luminosity. Which I think, pretty close to just like everyone's top four, right? Like, I think that's the top three and then one is a lot of the NA conversation. Yeah. But, and then Team YouTube, Exodia. Yeah, what's up?
Well, I'll let you finish.
Okay, sure. And then through losers, we have Team YouTube, Exodia, God Squad, and GT all qualifying. So, yeah, some really interesting squads. But Lassen, what were you gonna show?
Usually the discussion with NA is like a top three and then like a second, like a four through six.
Okay, yeah.
So Rogue and I guess it used to be a team that is no longer a thing, but like, so I guess I'll just give that title to Rogue.
Sure.
And then like GT are the like two, mm-hmm. but then the third member of that second tier is suspiciously missing, Spinal.
Yeah. I mean, they had to go up against GT in an elimination game, right?
I was going to say, like, they had an extremely rough bracket. It was really unfortunate. The two teams they got eliminated by were us and GT.
I mean, yeah, that's a crazy tough bracket.
Seed 3, seed 5, that is big F. But, like, that's the only, like, major, like, missing piece, I guess, of the top 8. Everything else seems pretty, like, about what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Let's talk about that game. I mean, they were the only game that you dropped a map to. How'd that Spinal game go when you played them in bracket? It was your winning it to top 8. So how'd that match go down?
They play a very interesting and unique style called DDoSing my support. I'm kidding.
Yeah, let's face it. Emo was missing some ults, and I mean. Ping hurts.
No, I'm kidding. Obviously, like, there's a million and a half things we could have done to play that game better. I'm not going to throw it under an excuse and Spinal played really well.
Yeah.
The double double speedster, very heavy macro style they were playing was very, very good. I was actually really sad to not see them top 8, to be honest.
I know. I was bummed about that.
Like, I'm going to be real with you. OG is back on form. He is nothing like the OG we saw in the previous months. This is like the OG we saw last year. I really, really hope that Spinal either gets to the top 8 next month, or if another roster mania happens, OG finds a really good team, because holy cow, that guy's been killing it.
Oh, I'm excited. OG back is a good NA world. Like, that kid is so much fun. I mean, honestly, so much fun to cast, if I'm being honest. So I am very, very, very excited about that. Okay, sweet. Some really good teams. Another storyline that was kind of crazy. I mean, TOS just on the outside of making it into top 8, going on a crazy run, taking out a very stacked team in the Chislers. They took down Ignorance, and then unfortunately just losing to Team YouTube right on their winning. I mean, that's a tough bracket, but Team YouTube making it into another top 8 again, proving Spraggles right. A lot of love towards that squad, and I mean, they're looking good. I'm excited. I think Team YouTube could play a lot of spoilers, so that'll be really interesting to see. But Kello, any team out of that top 8 that I mentioned that you're kind of excited to be watching?
Just real quick point on YouTube, they have Chaotic now, which is really interesting.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, cool. More roster swaps. But yeah, Kello, any team that you're really keen on watching?
I guess, yeah, like mentioned, you know, besides the usual, obviously, there's a lot of fan favorites there for TTV, but I really enjoy watching GT as well, having Stockings there on the team.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, really.
I mean, there's a lot of good teams in NA. Like, yeah. I mean, there is I think a pretty clear top 3, but like the teams that are outside of that, I think are still extremely strong and exciting to watch. Like, we've seen teams make a lot of upset plays before, and games are extremely close whenever we get down to it. So that's a lot of fun. I think GT is a great shout out. Dude's next. How about you? Any team, you have a fan favorite one that you're excited to watch, and an outside, like a dark horse that you're excited to see play?
Real quick, because we just mentioned GT too, they also have a roster swap.
Yeah, we mentioned it.
Did we?
Oh no, we didn't mention Regrets Off, but yeah.
Yeah, Regrets Off, Black on for GT.
Yeah, Black is back. That is exciting. Yep. Dude's next though. Thoughts on a team that you're excited to watch?
Yeah, so I'm a huge proponent and fan of GT, of course, go in the way back machine with them. So I want to see GT and Team YouTube, which have like had some clear moments of brilliance, but haven't really had that sustained kind of through the finals portion of the event carry. And I would like to see them kind of hit a next gear, because they're incredibly fun to talk about and they're getting consistent and getting in that top 8, which of course is great. They're not really the team that's caught in the lazy Susan just spinning around and around the whole time. But that being said, those two teams really need to level up, in my opinion.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough with those teams, right? They've had moments of brilliance, and then they've had tournaments, which is a bit of a disappointment. So, yeah, it's, I mean, April could be a great prove-it month. I think that's a good call. Two teams that I'm focusing in on, I actually really want to see TTV again. I think they had such an amazing lights out AOS Cup. Like, it looked so good from them. I want to see if they can, like, repeat performance on that, or if the other teams have kind of caught on to a little bit of what TTV's doing. I mean, Zugrug was playing out of his gourd in that tournament. It was ridiculous.
Yo, dude,
Oh my word. I couldn't stop talking about Zugrug after that tournament. It was so sick. So I'm excited to see, like, if it's a repeat performance, where that kind of goes. The other team I'm excited for, I know you've been homies with this squad for a while, but I think God Squad can make some stuff happen in bracket. I think this team is a lot of fun. God Squad, again, just one of those teams just on the bubble. They have a tough time beating kind of the best of the best, but they're sort of that gatekeeper team. They can kind of dominate everyone else below that. So I am excited to see them play. Of course, Anon, Silent Red, Forest, Zealot, and Neon. Zealot's Garchomp is chef's kiss. So I am very excited to see that in bracket again. There are my Dark Horse team. Not to pick the win the tournament, but I could definitely see God Squad going on a run and making it into like top four or something like that. So I'm very, very excited for that one. Lassiden, obviously you're picking Luminosity to win the whole thing. At least I hope you are. Otherwise, that's a breach of contract. I will tell for sponsorship from LG. I would love to know if you kind of have a dark horse pick that you're thinking about with this tournament.
Let me quickly double check. I do agree God Squad is looking pretty good. A little bit unfortunate round one. They don't historically perform very well against TTV, who are pretty consistent, but that's okay. I would say don't sleep on, I would say definitely don't, sleep on any of these teams, honestly, like anybody in the top eights. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, I love, Stockings on GT. I have a lot of friends in the top eights.
Mm-hmm.
This version of YouTube has looked pretty good overall, I would say.
Yep. They're new too, right? Like, this is like, I mean, Team YouTube has kind of been plagued with a lot of the teams around this tier place of just constant roster swaps. But yeah, they are new, but I think they can make some stuff happen. Aquilo's playing support for them now, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they have a Chaotic Jungle Sam attacker.
Okay. Cool.
And then the other two haven't changed. They do play a little bit of a weird style for the meta. They had some very interesting strategies.
They like five-man crash bot, right? First rotations? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little odd. I'm interested to see how it plays out for sure.
I'm in top.
And am I going to say what I said to Zephyr last week? Should I just make this my quote for every single qualifier?
I guess you have to.
For every single finals.
You're about to say it.
I hope that loser's run goes well.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even bring up a projected bracket onto this screen because I always get it wrong. And so why even make it? But yeah, I mean, you just said it. God Squad.
YouTube Luminosity is round one.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I believe it's GT Rogue.
Oh, man, that's a God Squad. Great first game. That's a great
God Squad TTV.
Okay.
Exodia ASU, which I forgot about Exodia.
Bora Reach and another top eight. Let's go.
How does he keep getting away with it? And then so that's all four. And then Luminosity versus Egypt. Yep.
Sweet.
If all of the seeding and everything is how it used to be in previous months, which I'm assuming they're not gonna change the format in the middle of the year, right? Surely Copium.
Surely not. No idea. But anyway, I think those are I think that's all of our picks to win EU and NA. Let's just do right before we sign up, because we're basically out of time. I just want a quick, anybody got any hot takes for the April Cup? Any burden takes, picks that you think that we're gonna see, teams that you think are gonna flounder, teams that you think are gonna rise to the top, any extremely hot take that you want to give. For me, I think we see... I can never predict teams to flounder because then I get flamed on Twitter for it. I think... ooh, flight top four. Okay, Enyat, I see that. Only top four. Come on, if you're going to make the claim, don't put Kappa after it. I think maybe my hot take will be GT top three, NA. That's going to be mine. I'm my GT on the outside. Man, Rogue's a tough first matchup, though. That's gonna be a tough game. But I think GT can make top three. Black is back. Let's do this. Kello, any hot takes? They can be mild as well.
No, I don't have any hot takes. I'm
Fair
sorry.
Enough. No, that's okay. We need to have a peaceful lover on this team as well, because otherwise this show just gets flamed endlessly. So it's okay. We need some middle ground as well. Deuce next. Are you joining Kello on the peaceful train, or are you going to join me and call out some big things?
Sure. I'll call out the other team that I want to ascend up. I'll go YouTube makes at least top three.
Ooh,
there you go.
YouTube top three. I and like
then, it. All right. That's it. Spicy one.
Well, then this is more of a hot question to Laz. So is LG gonna win some, or like what's going on?
I don't think we'll lose a single game.
There we go. Okay, hot take. Maybe. I mean, that's true. Hey, at least you didn't. At least you made top eight, so that's a big deal. Laz, in any time, a big hot take.
Look, I saw Zephyr didn't qualify, and I was like, oh no, not again.
I can't get cursed again. No. That is true. You two kind of do go hand in hand in those unluck situations. But okay. Any hot takes that you got, Lesnar?
Exodia is going to knock someone out of the tournament unexpected.
Okay.
And Time to Shine top three.
Time to Shine top three. Okay. Oh, I'm going to add like one more. Zeraora on broadcast. I think we see Zera on broadcast. It's happening. I don't know if it's at U or NNA, but it's going to happen somewhere, and I'm excited for it. But that is going to bring to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for everybody watching online, and of course, those listening in the podcast land. If you are listening in podcast land, please leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcatcher. I don't think people even use that word anymore. Whatever platform you are listening to this show on, it just helps more people find the show, and of course, helps out the competitive Unite scene. Therefore, the three of you, anything that you want to plug, Kello, let's start with you. Where can people find you on the internet, or anything upcoming you want to plug right now? The stage is yours.
Kellosaurus on Twitch, Kellosaurus TTV on Twitter, pretty much everywhere else. Yeah, just cool. Kellosaurus.
Good. Well, make sure everyone is following, because again, we've said it so many times, but Kello is holding down the scene for broadcasting in OCE. If you want to catch any of the OCE games, it's either a player POV or Kello spectating. It's the place to be. Go check it out. Go support Kello and support the OCE scene. Lazadin, you, anything to sell out, shout out?
Now that I have the VODs that I were somehow unable to find, I will probably be streaming on Friday watching
Shout
Japan,
out Kello.
Korea. Check that out.
Okay, cool.
Shout out to Kello for sending those. So I'll be sure to tweet about that when I've decided on a time. Be sure to watch this weekend. I don't think Nick is doing a stream, but I think Sneaky is for the unbroadcasted games for this weekend.
Cool.
So if you want to catch some of those games, you can always go there. And then, of course, shout out to Unite Mics for always being gracious hosts and being amazing.
That's us. We're so good at this. Speaking of which, Deuce next. Anything to give a shout out to?
Just follow at Unite Mics on Twitter. Give us a follow there. We've got some things in the works to try and get some branded t-shirts or of some sort to get out to the folks. I don't know if that's something we're going to be selling and then using the difference to kind of go towards our emote initiative donations at the end of the month, or what we're going to do with that. But that's something that's actively being worked on and to hopefully look out for on the horizon. Yep. Other than that, tune in to watch Kello and I hold it down this weekend, of course, and hopefully we can watch LG not drop a single game. That is the last shout. So there you go. Tons of great action this weekend. Thanks for supporting everybody at home. Peace, love, and hugs. We love you.
Oh, love you. too. Yep, same shout-outs as Doomsnice, of course. But if you want to keep following even more Unite Mics stuff, Twitter is the place to be, but also youtube.com/UniteMics. We got lots of great stuff up there. All the podcast episodes from all the days before are all there. I've interviewed a lot of the teams in the scene, and so if you want to check out the history of some of these squads that are participating in Unite Championship Series, get to know the players a little bit. Got a lot of team VODs up there. Even got some OCE teams. I think I have one OCE team interview, but it counts. But all that to say, yes, break a leg to the two casters we got here on the broadcast, and of course good luck in your competition this weekend, Lesnar, and good luck to all competitors as April Cup is looking to be a fantastic one, a stacked top 8. I can't wait, but until next time, we'll see y'all later. Goodbye.